Hi, Jen.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. How can I help you? What's your question?
Well, I guess my question is about the balance of holding boundaries and freedom. And I guess how I worded it on the website was about empowering the kids while being able to have boundaries and not being too restrictive. So that's really my question.
Sure. How, you have children?
No, I'm a TSS, which means that I have a few kids as clients, and I'm with them during school hours and at home. And we've just been really struggling with some boundary issues lately, and, you know, I'm not sure how to hold them myself. And I'm in all of the environments that I'm in with the kids at school and at home are all these what feel like oppressive environments.
What, can you explain, I'm sorry, what TSS is?
It's a therapeutic support staff.
Uh-huh. Is this for, what state are you in?
I'm in Pennsylvania.
Is this Department of Social Services or a school or?
Well, I work for a small company that is funded by the state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's social work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is this a home? Is this a, like a group home or?
What's your question?
Is it a group home? Do these kids live with you?
No. They have their own lives and their own homes, but I just have three clients that, like, two of them I have hours with them that the state funds me to
uh-huh.
be with them in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, one of them I just sit next to in class and help him stay on task.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
But the thing is, it's like becoming this power struggle, and I don't really know what that game is all about.
And, sure.
You know, how to not make it be about power, like I'm not interested in.
Right. And how, you spend all day with him?
No, I have one client I have about, I have a few hours, you know, like 3 hours a day with one client in class,
mm-hmm.
3 hours with another client in class, and
mm-hmm.
then some of the clients I have at home, and so that means I'm just, or it's called home and community, so I'm, I just spend time with them, with their parents, or just taking them out to stuff. It's just sort of a way to sort of get involved in the kids' life at home and sort of help make some differences if they have problems at home.
Sure.
Attitude problems or whatever.
Sure. How old are these children?
Well, one is four. She's autistic.
Uh-huh.
And the other two are boys. One is 8, and one is 11.
Uh-huh.
And the boys are ADHD.
Uh-huh.
So, that's kind of a situation.
Okay. So let's address, let me restate this, that that you feel like you sometimes involved in a power struggle.
Yeah.
And you're looking for the balance between structure and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries, as you said, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me start with the first thing, in my experience, that you need to establish, which you may have already, is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when you have a cooperative relationship with a child, it means that sometimes the child is empowered. But because the child feels a closeness with you, the child is also willing to empower you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's opposed to a dominant submissive relationship where one person's, you know, on top giving all the direction and the other person's on the bottom. And
right.
That probably is what these children have experienced. So then they flip it on you and they become dominant and trying to make you submissive.
Okay.
If you can find a way to reach these kids on a personal level so they trust you.
Yeah.
And they and you listen really well to them so they feel heard, then they are more likely to cooperate with you as well.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And is this something that you can work on, or is this something you feel you have down and that's not the issue?
Here's where I'm at, is I feel like we had this sort of, I've only been working with them a few months,
mm-hmm.
so it's all very new, I think, for all of us, and it felt like in the very beginning, you know, there's this like honeymoon period where they're on their sort of best behavior in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I felt like we were really establishing connection at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I thought, my understanding was that they were going through this period of really testing me and challenging my authority. So my stance was that I had to hold boundaries firmly. And it's like I lose the connection in that because I'm not used to that role.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just another comment is I feel like you well put the dominant submissive, like that whole game, I feel like that's entirely what they grow up around and is in school. Like that's entirely what happens all the time. So they don't know any other paradigm.
Right.
My understanding. And then for me, it's really honestly hard for me to hold on to a different paradigm. It's hard to hold on to my own paradigm when
right.
I'm constantly in this like
right.
the school system. It's completely about being dominant
right.
as a teacher.
Right.
You know, the teachers are about that. So
well,
anyway.
Just think about all the years they've had of the other model and all the hours with you, and you've just started. It takes
yeah.
time. You're going to have to outrun them. So, you know, you talk to them right. You look them straight in the eye. Don't let them look away, you know, make that eye-to-eye connection.
Uh-huh.
Give them choices. You know, you may need to bargain a little. You may need to say, okay, I need you to really listen to me now. And then what would you like to do after we listen? You know, if you have that option.
Okay.
I'm not sure. You're in classroom with all three of them? The four-year-old,
no,
you're in...
I have them one at a time.
I mean, but they're all in an in-class situation? I know you said some you bring to the house, but like the four-year-old, is that in
and just to clarify, it's in their own home. It's not at my home. In their own home. But the in-class situations, I have two in-class. One is with the autistic girl. So there's not much dominant submissive stuff going on with her. I just connect with her.
Right. Is she
yeah.
Asperger's?
No, she's not.
High-level autism or real? What kind of autism?
Unfortunately, I don't know.
Okay. But if you're connecting with her, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's really, it feels like there's some real connecting going on in the last few weeks, too, especially. So that's really great with her. And I don't have the same struggle.
Right. In the classroom, if you don't have any leeway and you're just sitting there making them do what they're supposed to do in the class, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I don't really have much empowerment in the classroom.
No, that's really a difficult situation because you become their monitor.
Yeah.
And the situation itself has, you know, you're put there to make sure that they behave, and then you do need these boundaries. That's tough. In their homes,
uh-huh.
you can, I would recommend looking for what these children love to do and doing it with them.
Yeah.
And that will make all the difference in the whole world. If you look for who they are, try to see them. Try to see who they are by what they love to do, what they naturally gravitate to. And I'm not talking about the TV.
Yeah.
Talking about something creative. And if you can't tell by observing them,
yeah.
right? I mean, maybe one of those kids is a Lego king.
Yeah.
Then you need to introduce them to activities that will help them find what they love to do. I mean, how would you know if you like an avocado, you know, if no one's ever cut one open and suggested you taste one? You know, looking at the avocado by itself, it might not look so tempting.
Right.
So provide them with a...
the instigator of events and helping them get exposed to things.
Right, but it's not just exposure. It's really observing them and trying to find what it is that they have an affinity for, what they like.
Yeah.
And it's not just taking in information, it's creating.
Right.
It becomes passionate. It becomes evolving, involving and evolving. It turns into bigger projects and bigger ideas, and maybe it just starts with something small.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to know is to, you know, observe them. Like, do you know, can you take any of these kids, can you right now off the bat say something that they love to do?
Yeah, One likes to play baseball and likes to hang out with friends. And another one also likes to play, well, the sports are just starting in school right now, so it's kind of the exciting thing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the other one, like, likes his kitty, likes to play with his friends.
Okay, I would still, I mean, the sports are wonderful, but that isn't something that you can really have a lot of control over unless you
right.
take them to practice.
Right.
Okay, so in your time with them, you need to find what it is they like to do. Do they draw? If you pulled out markers and...
I've kind of tried with one of them. I started with that activity. I brought markers and stuff with his feet, and he was really excited, and his sister was really excited, and then it sort of faded out, and I got him some markers and his birthday, and then it sort of faded out. So that's not really an interest.
Okay, it faded out on his end, or if he did it with you, would he continue?
On his end, I think. It sort of lost its thing.
Okay, just because he can't sustain it on his own doesn't mean it's the wrong thing.
Okay.
Initially. So, you know, move from markers to paint to creating things and keep pushing the pieces around and do it with him.
Okay.
Don't expect, you have years of undoing to do here, it sounds like. So it doesn't happen all of a sudden. It's not a one-time thing or a two-times thing. Or you're going to outrun them by working with them. So if you know, bring in origami and bring in crafts and bring in wood and bring in paint and see if you can get a hold of these things and colored pencils and crafts. And there's some, you know, really cheap ways of doing this inexpensively. And do it with them, and it becomes an activity. They will do it because of their relationship with you, and because you're excited about doing it, if you're genuinely excited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's a last question for you, and then I'm going to take another question, but what do you love to do?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
Well, mostly my interest is spiritual.
Okay.
So...
Well, and in your spirituality, is there something, some way to create with it? Is there something that you do that you can share with these kids? Something you love? Can you translate that spirituality in a way that you can talk to them and work with them that would be acceptable in your professional capacity?
It's a really good question, and I'd have to sit with it a lot longer, I think. Nothing comes to mind right now.
Can you take your spirituality and create picture books with them? And create, you know, share your passion in a way that's not just information, but it's creative.
Right.
So, So you have a really interesting profile here. You're working with kids who have set behaviors and are in set situations that you really don't have a whole lot of control over. But when you work with them, in the moment that you're with these kids, those moments count. They're everything. And so if you can share your passion with them, if you can find creative activities that you genuinely love to do with them,
right.
Okay, that will turn everything. That will create cooperative relationships because they will want to be with you and they will want to please you and work with you and because you're interested in them, you also empower them by asking them, would you like to do this thing or that thing? What do you feel like doing right now? And so they understand that you truly care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have some control over their day, you will start, these boundary issues will start to fade. Inside the classroom, you have a dynamic you didn't set up. The best thing you can do is keep looking at them, keep talking to them, right? When they act out, if they act out,
yeah.
You know, just address it calmly. Address the behaviors. I understand you feel the umpteen, but, you know, just talk to me. Don't be, you know, you don't need to do this. I will listen. Is that helpful?
Yeah. I guess my last question would be, really specifically around that, like, what would you suggest my response? Because I think one of my clients, I think, is really shy at school. Like, it's so hard to get him to say anything about what's going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I walk this balance of, like, crying versus, like, just giving him space to be where he is. And I think he's shy with me, and I think he's shy with his friends around, you know. And I don't really know how to get sort of out of this habit that we're in where it's like, it feels like he just doesn't want to do anything I ask him to do. You know, I'm like, can you open the book a little wider, please, so that I can see it too, you know, so that I can read it too and help him with it. And,
you can make statements for him, like, I'm guessing you're feeling shy. I'm guessing
that, and it's not opening yet.
Okay.
Like, I've done a lot of active listening and also being, you know, like, trying to help him put words to maybe feeling, and it's not opening yet.
Right. How long have you been working with him?
Well, just 3 months.
Okay.
So.
And how old is he?
Is that what you're?
Yeah.
Date.
And so how many years has he had it a different way?
Yeah.
Okay.
2 months.
Right. Takes time.
Yeah.
Don't quit. Don't give up. You can outrun him. If you don't quit, he has nowhere to go. All right? You can outrun him. Just be patient. And over time, think about it. You know, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, his response has got to change because it doesn't work. All right? It was a pleasure speaking to you, Jen.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, stay in touch.
Okay.
All right? Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.